This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The obsessive killing of Dorothy Stratton. The real-life murder that inspired Twin Peaks. These stories and more are told in the Hollywoodland podcast, where true crime and Tinseltown collide. Follow and listen to Hollywoodland wherever you get your podcasts.
So yesterday we did carry the introductory remarks of new Maryland basketball coach Buzz Williams. And then the Q&A didn't start for another 15 minutes after his introductory remarks, so we didn't carry that. But you said that you cut some of it and you wanted to play some of it. Am I right?
Sorry, I was editing this Van Pelt thing. Say that again.
Did you... You said you had some sound to play from the Buzz Williams press conference.
This is not necessarily from the press conference. This is on some of the takes on Buzz Williams. So I got a clip from Juan Dixon that I think you'll enjoy on Buzz Williams.
Oh, okay.
And then this is there's an old clip from Buzz Williams on Pardon My Take about how he wants his players to think bigger than the NBA that I thought was interesting. It kind of encapsulates just who Buzz is, I think, as a person and a coach. So which one do you want first?
Dixon. I want to hear what Dixon said about it.
All right, so this is one.
Juan was there yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wanted to show support. You know, Colleen, Dr. Pons, the support staff, we got it right. You know, Coach Williams is going to uplift this program, get it back to the level we need on a consistent basis. And I just want to come here along with Coach Williams and former Terps that was here, student athletes, supporters, to come show support for Coach Buzz, to let him know that we're here and we got his back.
Before I get to another real question, how weird is it to say Coach Williams?
Yeah, that's funny. It's funny. And they're very similar in many ways in their coaching styles. Both dress very well. They're both very intense on the sideline, coach with a ton of passion, and they motivate their guys. And their guys play hard and they're tough. So it's ironic, you know, Buzz Williams, Gary Williams, but I'm sure it's going to work out the same way for Coach Buzz.
Juan Dixon, champion, 23 years ago, we were celebrating. Actually, we were celebrating on the night of April 1st, 2002. God, was Dixon a great college basketball player. I mean, for you, you don't remember Juan Dixon, right?
I have a passing memory of Juan Dixon. Not the great one, but I remember Juan Dixon.
Just great, great college scorer. Incredible defender, especially as an off-ball defender. He had that sick sixth sense of sort of anticipation of being a step and a half ahead. And you'd see a ball reversal going from one side to the other and Juan just waiting on that pass. And he'd jump into that passing lane and it was off to the races. Every big shot, although Blake hit a bunch of big shots too, but he was just a great college basketball player who, by the way, scored 35 in a playoff game for the Wizards as a rookie. I think it was as a rookie on those Gill teams with Karan and Antoine. Although maybe he had the 35 on the Larry Hughes team before Karan was a part of it, because he got drafted in the first round by the Wizards in 2002. And then, no, it would have been a couple of years later, right, that they played Cleveland and lost in six. He had a game against the Bulls when they beat the Bulls in a six-game series, and then they played the Heat. He had 35 in a playoff game. I think it was against the Bulls, now that I think about it. I think Larry Hughes may have been hurt. Dixon started and had 35. I got to go look that up now. It's going to drive me nuts. You know, in terms of the similarities between Buzz Williams and Gary Williams, I think that It's interesting because I think I talked about this a little bit yesterday, is that Maryland's last three coaches, Gary Williams, Mark Turgeon, and Kevin Willard, are all outstanding defensive coaches. But Gary was an outstanding offensive coach, too. Gary had perfected, you know, the flex offense against man-to-man defense, and Maryland ran it about as well as anybody ran it. And you see guys, you know, that were around Gary, you know, even guys like Bruce Pearl, who, you know, still run it. I mean, there's a lot of flex offense in basketball, period. But Gary also always was trying to score 100 points, 90 points, 80 points. And Maryland was a team that would turn you over with their press and score. They would turn you over in the half court and get out on the break. They would take it off the glass and try to run. And that wasn't the last two coaches necessarily, although this year's team definitely tried to run. Always love hearing from Juan Dixon. He's not coaching anymore, correct? I don't think he's coaching anymore. Pretty sure he's not coaching anymore. By the way, the game that I was thinking of, here it is. It came in April of 2005. It was game four against the Bulls, and Juan Dixon had 35 points in a playoff game. He had some good play. They played Chicago, beat him in six, and then they got beat by the Heat in four straight. In 2005. But that game four, which gave Washington, evened up the series with the Chicago Bulls, and then game five, that all-time memorable game that Gil hit the shot at the buzzer on the road to win game five. He came off the bench to score 35. He did not start in that game. Looks like he came off the bench 11 of 15 from the floor, 3 of 4 from behind the arc, 10 of 10 from the free throw line, 35 points in 31 minutes off the bench. So that was his moment as a professional basketball player in the NBA in terms of, you know, postseason having a big game. I don't know if that was his all-time career high, but all right. You had another soundbite you wanted to play. Buzz Williams.
Yes, this is Buzz Williams talking with Pardon My Take. I think this was a year or two ago. He was still the coach, I believe, at Texas A&M when he made this. But it's just talking about player goals and thinking bigger than just the NBA.
It's like I tell our players, I do not want to recruit you if when I ask, what is your biggest dream? If you tell me your biggest dream is to make the NBA, I do not want you to come play for us. That is so limited. That is so shallow. I want to make the NBA. I understand how hard it is. I know there's only 450. I know the numbers of it, the math of it, way better than I could articulate. But if that's what you're telling me your dream is, I don't want you to come play with us, because we go about this every day like this is your dream. You are living your dream. And if your dream is just to make it, then you won't make it in how we go about it every day. You not only want to make it. Hey, coach, I want to be a top 50 ever first ballot Hall of Famer and get to my fourth contract. Okay, now let's talk about that. Now let's rewind from there on how, let's break it down. Let's live life backwards. Now, how long are you going to be able to play to get to your fourth contract? You're going to need to play 15 years. Do you know the percentage of guys that play 15 years? Let's start studying this, and now it'll give us a lens on how we're going to get there.
You know, so in watching and I was watching simultaneously and listening because we ran the introductory remarks. He definitely is an effective communicator. Now, you know, there are a lot of reasons, and you'll hear Scott kind of talk about some of the reasons that the coaching stints in the various places he's been in have been short. There is a preacher quality to his communication ability. You know, how will that work in a big market? Because he's in a big market for the first time in his career coaching, College Station, all due respect, Blacksburg. you know, Milwaukee's a bigger market and city, but it's, you know, is Milwaukee even a top 25 market? I don't think so. But what I do kind of sense, and in reading a little bit more about him over the last couple of days, I think he's very bright. I think that that's, you know, I think this guy is bright. I think he's, you know, innately bright, and I think he's intelligent and smart too. But what he just said is, you know, so true. I don't know how he gets that through to young people who think in terms of which school. It's not even important anymore because it's all about the money now. I mean, when was that quote from? You said from what year?
This is from a couple years ago, but it was still in the NIL era of college
but we're
basketball.
Now we're now down to kids basically going to the place that's going to pay them the most money more times than not. That's really what college sports have been reduced to now. As I've mentioned in the last couple of days, it's very transactional. It's very year to year. But I loved what he said. Like, the overall message, I don't know how he gets it through to 17, 18, 19-year-olds. But there's also analogies to, you know, business. It's like, you if your goal is just to arrive and not to then take that opportunity at arriving at a place like the NBA and become a champion, to become the best player, to get to that second contract, etc. That's so limiting. That's why I think the I always feel like these recruiting press conferences that we used to get all the time, the big announcements where they'd have the hats out and they're at their high school, there's just way too much emphasis on we've arrived. No, you haven't. You've just gotten started. Draft night, the celebration. Look, it's a little bit different, especially before college players started to get paid, because you've reached a financial threshold that is life-changing, you know, for any family, really, when you're talking about a first-round NFL pick or a first-round NBA pick, you know, a high draft choice and the kind of guaranteed money. I understand feeling incredibly proud about that moment. But if you look for and you end up finding the people where that's going to feel like the culmination rather than the beginning, it's not the right way to think. It's probably not the right player to have. I totally understand where he's coming from. You know, the business analogy would be when you see companies, you know, on the New York Stock Exchange, and they're going public, and on the day they're going public, you see all of this celebration. Now, in some cases, there's reasons to celebrate because it can be a massive cash-out event. But in many cases, it's just the beginning. You've raised all of this money. Now you got to make it work. And maybe that business analogy is more applicable to a company that is private. You know, I was involved in companies before I got into broadcasting. One company in particular, which I was involved as someone helping to raise capital for that company, and somebody who was trying to generate their first kind of customer revenue stream. And the guy, the CEO of the company, it was a Seattle-based company. They closed on a $10 million private, you know, investment deal. And the guy spent $50,000 on the party to celebrate the closing of the money. And it was at that moment I realized this. I feel sorry for the people that have actually invested now, because that was just such a waste of money. And the celebration was so much about arriving. No, it had just started. They got the money to execute on a business plan to build a business. Things were just getting started. This was in the wild.com days, Denton, of people throwing money at almost any idea that had a .com next to it. 50 grand on a party to celebrate the closing of a deal. The party, by the way, was phenomenal.
I was going to say, you were invited to the party? Like, hopefully you got the invite.
Oh, yeah, I was at the party. It was an incredible party. But I pled, urged him, you know, leading up to that, don't do this. This is not a good look. Yes, there's some celebration, you know, amongst the people, and you can share the excitement, but it's the beginning of something. Now you've got to actually fulfill the promises. Like, when Josh Harris took over the team, there was something about the way he felt and talked about the incredible burden and the pressure of delivering. And it wasn't just for the fans in this town. It was for the 20-plus limited partners that invested money into Josh Harris, the managing partner of this group, to buy the football team at $6 billion plus. And I remember saying that, you know, after listening to him the day after, this is the kind of leader you want. You want somebody to feel that responsibility and the accountability to deliver for the people that just gave you their money to say, go make it work. Now, look, sports teams are different. You know, they're vanity purchases in many cases for a lot of these people. You know, all they're looking for is just to be a part of a big professional sports team. And, you know, I have heard, you know, over the first couple of years, it's like, because it's the largest ownership group in the NFL, excluding the Packers. The Packers are publicly held. Excluding the Packers, it's basically the largest ownership group in the NFL. So it's not like everybody's getting, you know, four suite tickets for every game to sit in the owner's box. There isn't enough room for that. So it's like, what are you really getting? I got one game. It's a preseason game, but I got one game in the box with the owner. I'm kidding. I think they all get at least one in the main box with the owner, and they get seats, you know, elsewhere, and probably very good seats. But it's not like you're getting a return on that investment right now. You know, in fact, you know, when it comes to the investment in sports teams, unless they're paying out dividends, I assume that there is some of that, there's no exit strategy unless the team sells. Or unless the, you know, the majority owners decide to buy more, you know, of the limited partner stock, or they allow other investors to come in to buy them out. So that's always a possibility with a large group. But the point being is that I remember coming in here, or right after the Josh Harris, and I'm like, that guy is a guy that gets it. Like, he has, you know, built all these businesses, incredibly successful. But he feels the responsibility of, you know, taking that money, taking control of the team, and not just celebrating the arrival, but understanding that, you know, this is not the goal. The purchase of the team isn't the goal. It's not what I promised my investors. It's not what I promised the fans in the market. I promised a winner. That's what I have to deliver. To deliver a great business and a winner. And not everybody feels that way in that moment. And I think that's kind of what Buzz Williams was getting at. If your goal is just to get to the NBA, I don't want you. Because that doesn't, I mean, look, for a lot of those kids, I understand, I'm not knocking the celebration on draft nights. Because for so many of those families, for basically any family of almost any economic standing, it is a big night financially. You know, so on some level, they have arrived at a financial, you know, life-changing event. But for it to be truly generationally changing, you got to view that as, I haven't done anything yet. You know, this team just gave me this contract and picked me in this spot because they think I'm going to deliver and play great and we're going to win. And those are the kinds of people I think that you look for and Buzz Williams looked for. No. Friend of mine asking what the entertainment was at this party. My lips are sealed on that.
It wasn't I thought it was just a bunch of ice sculptures. He used 50 large on, you know, maybe some McDonald's and some ice sculptures.
Yeah, well, Andy went out and found the ice sculpture for Angela. Remember how impressed she was with the ice sculpture?
I do remember that.
It was certainly a wild party, that's for sure. And by the way, $50,000, this is 25 years ago. Kind of, it went a lot much longer way than it would today. All right. We got other things to get to. You're going to hear Scott Van Pelt on the show talk about the hiring of Buzz Williams. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the team980.com.